Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You know what time it is. That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. Coming to you on this Friday edition. It is January 4th, 2019, as we are just still getting started in this new year. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. And I got to admit to you guys out there, I am not feeling my best. You know, that's what happens around this time of the year, right? Everybody starts getting the sniffles and it gets passed around. And you know what's funny? You know, I didn't want to admit this yesterday because I wasn't feeling my best yesterday either. But, I didn't want to speak it into existence. And then, you know, I woke up this morning and it was, you know, I felt like I was getting better. But, like, the congestion just really started to hit me harder than it did yesterday. And, you know, I just walked in and you guys know who have been tuning in throughout this week. Our very own Brad Walker has been filling in as a current sports engineer of the week. And I'm staring at Brad right now. And Brad, I wish you guys could see this. Brad is right now behind the glass. He's got a Clorox disinfectant wipe. And he is disinfecting everything, even the air. He's wiping the air because I was just behind the glass showing him today's rundown. He's jumping. I kid you not. He's jumping up and down right now. You know, waving this disinfectant wipe in the air right now because I was just behind the glass prepping the show, giving him the rundown, giving him the introduction bite for today. And Brad, you informed me, and I tell you what, it just shows you, be careful at work, folks, because you informed me that all three of us, myself, of course, Jamie Paisley and Jody Knoll, all three of which we have our offices literally right next to each other, we are all feeling the bug. Is that right, Brad? That is accurate. Yeah, he's giving me the, yep, that's right, Al. So, coinky dink? I think not.
I'm still wiping down.
You're still wiping down behind the glass, yeah. So, Brad, hopefully, yeah, please do that, because I don't want you to get sick, all right, brother? So, I'm going to try and muscle through and gut out this next hour, okay? And I'm going to need some help from you guys out there. We got a lot to talk about. This is a busy, busy Friday show because, of course, we will be previewing the weekend that is to come for Michigan State men's basketball as Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team gets ready to take on Ohio State. I'll just have brief thoughts on that and give you guys a few things to watch for in that matchup. Should be a fun game to watch that one taking place tomorrow. More details coming up on that game in just a moment. Also, a bit weekend in the NFL because it is NFL wild card weekend. How about them Cowboys, baby? I will be rooting very, 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 very hard for my Dallas Cowboys as we will play the Seattle Seahawks. Looking forward to that game. I think this year in the NFL, more so than probably the last, like, 3 to 5 years, it's just totally wide open with teams that could legitimately make a deep run in this year's NFL playoffs and possibly win the Super Bowl. Now, I know the Patriots are still in this thing. I get that. But the Pats have looked vulnerable. I am still one of those who still believe that the Patriots are the Patriots, and I won't believe it until I see it when they don't make the AFC Championship game. So we'll briefly touch on the National Football League. I'll have brief thoughts on the college football playoff as well. And it is Friday. And you guys know each and every Friday we hit up our man Johnny Lewis of Blessed Body Training on the West Coast out in Arizona for another installment of Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training. All right, so you don't want to miss that. We'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Don't worry. You can't get sick over the phone, folks. All right? I promise not to get you guys sick. You can also check out the live stream live right now. I don't know if you want to check it out today because you may see me blowing my nose a few times. But anyway, if you're feeling like you want to tune in courtesy of Facebook, if that's easier for you, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet the show. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Despite a season high 28 points from redshirt junior guard Che Colley, the number 15 Michigan State women's basketball squad dropped its Big Ten road opener to Northwestern at Welsh Ryan Arena on Thursday night. Now, with the loss, the Spartans' 8-game win streak does come to an end as MSU falls to 11-2 on the year and 1-1 in Big Ten action. Northwestern is now 9-5 overall and 2-1 in Big Ten play. There were 15 lead changes in a tightly contested battle, and Michigan State will conclude its 2-game road trip at Indiana come this Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. All right, and as I just mentioned, the Michigan State men's basketball team will go at it against the Ohio State Buckeyes on the road tomorrow at noon. Number 8 Michigan State men's basketball traveling to Columbus to play the number 14 ranked Buckeyes. This game can be seen again Fox at noon. Michigan State and Ohio State have played 122 times since 1950, with the Spartans winning 71 of those matchups. But, you know, with Ohio State, this is a squad that is one of the toughest teams in men's college hoops, and they are certainly not going to lay down. This is going to be a nice test for the Spartans. We'll see what happens. More on that game in just a moment. Last night, the Michigan men's basketball team was in action. They are ranked number 2 in the nation. Quite impressive. And that unblemished, undefeated record continued to keep on keeping on. Michigan at 14-0 now, 3-0 in the Big Ten. Got 17 points from Jordan Poole, while true freshman Ignas Brazdikas recorded his first career double-dub, 17 points, 11 boards, in a 68-55 win over visiting Penn State. The Wolverines return to action on Sunday when they play host to Indiana, 4:30 p.m. on CBS. Michigan is now 2 wins away from tying the program's best start to a season. Also want to note that Penn State coach Patrick Chambers, he apologized yesterday after he appeared to push one of his players during the loss to Michigan. Now, Chambers reached out and appeared to shove guard Miles Dredd during a timeout with 10:52 remaining in the first half. Michigan was leading by 6 at the time. And Chambers addressed the incident with reporters after the game, saying, quote, "I absolutely love Miles Dredd. He committed to us as a sophomore in high school, so I've known him forever. And his parents." He goes on to say, quote, "Absolutely love him. I apologize to him. I was just trying to challenge him, just trying to get the best out of him. and hopefully I'll do it differently next time. No, not hopefully. I will do it a different way next time. So, again, that is coming from Pat Chambers, head coach of the Penn State men's basketball team, going a bit of Bobby Knight on Miles Dredd. And, again, he says he was just trying to challenge him and motivate him to get the best out of him. I guess I should have did that with you behind the glass, huh, Brad? Maybe earlier this week. Hey, Brad, I'm just trying to get the best out of you, man. Just shove you a little bit. You know what I mean? You know, we started off the week this week.
Just don't throw me across the floor like a chair.
Yeah, we don't want those problems, right?
No.
I think HR will be giving a call if that happens,
delicate,
right?
Delicate, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right.
If you had to touch my arms, and I'd probably get a cold.
Yeah, we don't want that. Please.
Don't eat it.
I'm really hoping, Brad, you don't get sick, man. Please. Continue to Clorox back there, all right? Also want to let you guys know that the MSU hockey team will be inviting Ohio State to town starting tonight. Tonight's puck drop scheduled for 7 p.m. and tomorrow's puck drop at 8 p.m. Both games at, of course, Munn Ice Arena. Very cool moment happening tonight, though, for you hockey fans out there. As tonight, the Stanley Cup makes a visit to Munn Ice Arena. This is rare, folks. It's not every day that the Stanley Cup visits East Lansing. Incredibly cool. I'm curious, Brad, are you going to tonight's matchup to check out the cup? No?
No. I have had a photo with the cup before, though.
You have? When? When was that?
When the LA Kings won, I don't remember what year, but Matt Green from Grand Ledge was on that team. He had a showing in Grand Ledge at the high school, and the family and went out there and stood in line for quite a long time, but we got a photo with the cup.
I'm curious. I have a question.
Sure.
Do they let you touch
no,
the cup?
No,
they don't.
No.
So there's no touching of the cup. I mean, heck, even the guys that handle the cup, they have to wear the white gloves, right?
Yeah, you can't touch the cup, no.
I wonder what would happen, though, if you did.
Probably get a cold.
You probably get a cold. Something bad will happen to you, right? Yeah. You'll be cursed in some way.
It's like 7 years bad luck, like a mirror, breaking a mirror.
Unless you win it. Unless you win
it,
you cannot touch the cup. All right. Quick turnaround for the MSU hockey team as they are coming off playing in the Great Lakes Invitational in Detroit on Sunday and Monday. Including the GLI, the Spartans will play 8 straight weekends. That's 16 games before an off weekend, which will happen February 22nd to the 23rd. All right, the Michigan State football team will open its season on Friday, August 30th, against Tulsa at Spartan Stadium. The game was initially scheduled for Saturday, August 31st. No game time and TV network have been announced yet. The program has played 7 of its last 8 season openers on a Friday night. The lone exception was in 2017, that opener happening against Bowling Green. The 2019 schedule features 3 home games in September, 3 straight, actually, to start the season. The Big Ten opener will take place at Northwestern on September 21st, and Michigan State returns to campus for homecoming on September 28th when they take on Indiana. Also, the Detroit Red Wings in action tonight at 7:30 p.m. at home at Little Caesars Arena, playing host to the Nashville Predators. The Wings sitting at 15-20-7, 37 points. The Predators donning a 24-15-2 record with 15 points. Also, the Detroit Pistons open a 2-game homestand tomorrow when they tip off against the Utah Jazz at Little Caesars Arena. Detroit snapped a 3-game skid with a 101-94 win over the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis on Wednesday. The Pistons will play host to the San Antonio Spurs on Monday. That's before heading out on a 4-game Western road swing next week. Detroit is 17-19 and in third place of the Central Division. And last but not least, check this out. The sprawling state in Berrien Springs, Michigan, where legendary boxer, the GOAT, Muhammad Ali, once lived, is now off the market after the home reportedly sold in late December. Now, the deal with Ali's widow, according to Crane's Detroit Business, came in at $2.5 million on December 21st. The original asking price on the property was $2.8 mil. The buyer, the New York-based Turkin Foundation. According to the website, the Turkin Foundation assists eligible students by, quote, means of housing, scholarship, and other cultural programs to improve their educational experience in the United States. No word has officially been released as to what the Turkin Foundation will do with the home. And I didn't realize how beautiful the home was until I was perusing pictures this morning of Ali's mansion. And wow, it is a gem, folks. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can go to facebook.com/WKAR News to check out the live stream. And you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
To go down and easily could have been fouled in the grill of Draymond Green, a former defensive player of the year. James Harden knocks down his 44th point.
But this one he will remember for a long, long time. Coming back from 20 down, he tied the game at the end of regulation at 119 with a three and hit one of the most difficult three-point shots you will see. With time winding down, a second remains. No timeouts either way. And again, a second left in overtime. Look at this.
Crossover.
And raises in front.
Raises over. I mean, that's a four-point play.
Look at that.
He was fouled as well with words for Draymond.
All right, Ned, is how we begin the discussion period of our hour here on WKAR's Current Sports. I just briefly want to touch on what I watched, what many watched last night in the world of the National Basketball Association. You know, I don't get a chance to talk a lot of NBA here on Current Sports. I am a huge NBA fan for our longtime listeners out there. You guys know that. And you know what? I wasn't feeling too hot yesterday. And I said, you know what? All right, I just need rest. You know, I usually go to bed around like 2, 3 a.m. And last night, I'm just like, look, I'm not feeling well. I need to get to bed early. And as soon as I finished up my work for the night, you know, I had my TV going. I had the NBA on TNT on. And the late slate was, of course, the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. And at halftime, I'm sitting there like, all right, well, I'm not going to miss anything. If I go to bed early, I'm not going to miss anything. I mean, the Warriors are up by 20 points. There's no way Houston's going to come back. So thank goodness I had one additional thing to do on my laptop. And the third quarter had begun. And then slowly but surely, we started to see the Rockets just work their way back into the game. And then by the time the third quarter was done, it was a six-point game, folks. And James Harden had put together one of the greatest quarters that I had seen in a long time in the world of hoops. And this is the thing about, you know, what James Harden is doing right now, because it is pretty historical. It truly is. I don't care if you are not an NBA fan, but if you're just a fan of sports, especially my basketball savants out there, if you are just a basketball fan, you may not enjoy the NBA game, but you can't tell me, after watching what James Harden did last night, that you weren't thoroughly entertained. I haven't seen a stretch like this, and I haven't reacted to an NBA game like how I did last night. I mean, I was sick last night, and I'm up there jumping up, you know, going crazy. I'm texting my stepdad back and forth. I'm on social media and seeing reaction from people watching what James Harden was doing. Everybody going crazy over what James Harden put together last night against, by the way, this isn't like, you know, going against the Brooklyn Nets. You know, this is the Golden State Warriors. This is the gold standard, the platinum standard of the NBA that James Harden was doing this against. And I found myself, you know, just losing my mind last night. And I haven't had that kind of reaction to a game since probably Kobe Bryant's last game as a Laker, when he scored like 60 points. And I was losing my mind because I couldn't believe, oh, this is his last game and he's going out like this. Crazy. But I lost it last night. Especially that game-winning three right over Draymond Green, former MSU basketball great. I mean, and he should have been going to the line for a four-point play, because I think that, looking back at it, I thought Draymond did foul him. But they both go tumbling to the ground after James Harden releases that shot. And the Rockets didn't have to go for the win, but James Harden did. You know, they were down by two with 5 seconds left. James got the ball and said, I'm going for the win here. And he kind of steps up and hesitates, and then Moolah. I think Klay Thompson was the other player on his backside that contested the shot. James Harden is one of, watching this stretch of basketball, watching last night's performance, I just have to say this. James Harden, I believe, has cracked my top three offensive players of all time. I mean, the dude is that dominant. He is that unstoppable. Down 20 in that third quarter, if you really look at the tape, it was all James Harden for the Rockets, whether it was finding an open teammate, because by the way, the dude had something crazy like 15 assists. 44 points, 10 rebounds, 15 assists. Finding teammates left and right. Also, because James Harden has gotten a bad rep in the past for his lack of defense, had two huge blocks in that game as well. I mean, I don't think you can make the argument. I think probably what? Giannis Antetokounmpo is probably the only player that you can put in the argument with James Harden for this MVP race so far this year. I mean, it's amazing. So I just wanted to start the show with that, because it was a thrilling game last night. Steph Curry was great. You know, Draymond Green had his moments. Kevin Durant, talk about the closer. Who is the closer for the Warriors? He is certainly the closer. Klay Thompson has gotten out of his shooting slump. And for the Rockets, also Clint Capella. Got to give him some credit, too, because he's a great defensive player. He had a big block on Kevin Durant, actually, late in that game. But that was thrilling to watch. I don't care if you are a fan of the NBA or not. If you missed that game last night, you missed out on some great TV. And the NBA is just so entertaining on so many different levels. I could go on and on about that. But, again, 44 points, 10 rebounds, 15 assists for James Harden. And right now, Harden is leading the NBA with a career-high 33.6 points per game. Unquestionably, one of the most spectacular offensive stretches in recent NBA history. I think I can probably only compare it to when Kobe Bryant, when all of that jazz happened out in Colorado, right? And he came back to the league, and he developed that Mamba mentality, and Kobe went on that unbelievable stretch of basketball. I mean, he has scored at least 40 points, Harden has, in 5 consecutive games. So speaking of Kobe, he joins Kobe, also the GOAT, Michael Jordan, and AI, Allen Iverson, as the only players to have such streaks in the past 50 years. Amazing. And Harden has scored at least 35 points and 5 assists in Houston's past 9 games. Oscar Robertson previously held the NBA record for most consecutive 35.5 assist outings at 7 games. And, you know, to take these that stat further, the most consecutive 35-plus point games, Kobe has the record with 13. Michael is at 10. James has 9 straight so far. So he can tie Mike in his next outing. It's amazing, folks. If you have not watched James Harden this season, get to a TV and turn on the next Houston Rockets game ASAP. All right. Turning the page from that now. You know, I do want to talk about the college football playoff. You know, Brad, we haven't rapped about this week. You know, we've been so centered on MSU football and trying to play the role of doctor and trying to diagnose what is wrong with MSU football, right, that we haven't looked at the big picture of the college football slate. And I want to talk about the semifinals right now because, you know, I sat back and of course, like many, including yourself, I'm sure, watched the college football playoff semis, and I was incredibly bored. I mean, first off, Clemson and Notre Dame. It now makes, you know, looking back at it, again, hindsight is 20/20. You know, you now look at a matchup like that and a final score like that and say, man, Notre Dame, a team that, don't get me wrong, it's Notre Dame. Big brand, had a great season. But Notre Dame is independent. They don't play in a conference. To get mollywopped the way they did against Clemson. And, again, I just keep having flashbacks, like many do, to that Alabama and Georgia matchup, even though Georgia didn't have a great outing in its bowl game, right? So you could go tit for tat here as well. But Notre Dame getting blown out like that, it makes me question whether or not Notre Dame should have been in that 4. And then you look at Alabama. This is just Alabama. This is what they do. This is what Nick Saban does around this time of the year. Alabama defeating Oklahoma. And, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner that is Kyler Murray, 45-34 was the final of that game. Much more entertaining in that game. But, you know, probably before the college football playoff, it was college football season, excuse me, you could have probably predicted that Alabama and Clemson would probably be the 2 teams that we will be watching in the national championship game. So I just want to ask you, Brad, do you think that looking back at what we saw in the semis, do you think the committee did get it right?
that's tough.
It's a tough question,
right? It's tough because, you know, I think Notre Dame is a good football team. And there's so many questions. Is Clemson's defense really that good?
Right.
You know, that's one question I have. I still think, and to me, it doesn't matter if Georgia lost to Texas. They had nothing to play for. Who cares? They didn't get
up for that game.
No.
That's what I saw as well.
That would have been a different squad if they would have made the playoff, and I think they should have made the playoff, yes.
I do, too. I'm with you. I think Kirk Herbstreit was the only...
He called it.
He called it. He was the only analyst that stood up there and said, yeah, I mean, did you watch Georgia and Alabama in that SEC championship game? And let's just flip in the script here. Let's just say if Notre Dame was in the SEC and Georgia was the independent team, Georgia, you know, Notre Dame doesn't have to play in a conference championship game, so it doesn't have the potential of hurting them in any way.
Mm-mm.
Georgia has to play in the same conference as the creme de la creme of college football teams in Alabama, so it's not fair. Not fair on a lot of different levels. We can go and debate this left and right and talk about how this just further proves the point that the playoff needs to expand. We all see that now. We all have seen that for a while now. It's just a matter of time for that happening. But, you know, looking at Alabama and Clemson, you know, and I've said all year, Alabama's just on another level. They just are. When you look at this team, on the defensive side of the football, on the offensive side of the football, they just play at a different level. And Nick Saban prepares his squad at a different level. And it helps when you consistently get, year after year after year, a top-tier recruiting class. But for me, you know, sitting back, it was a big disappointment. It really was. Because I really thought that both of these games were Well, maybe not the Alabama. If anything, I would have thought that the Clemson and Notre Dame game would have been more competitive than the Alabama and Oklahoma game. But the fact that, you know, Alabama won yet again and, you know, Clemson blows out Notre Dame, it was just a really disappointing way to usher in the national championship for me. And I was really excited. I got ready, you know, had my favorite beverage and popcorn ready, and you watch that? And I'm sitting there saying, you got to be kidding me. So for me, Brad, you know, I think this will continue to happen, and we will continue to see results like this because, one, you know, Alabama is just so top-heavy. I mean, every single year they are just dominant, and I don't see any signs of them slowing down in the near future. So you're going to have, out of these two games every single year, at least one of them with a very predictable outcome in the Crimson Tide winning year after year after year. Unless you expand this thing, the entertainment value for me, it loses a lot of luster, Brad. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you have Alabama. Clemson is going to be probably the same.
Right.
Wasn't this supposed to be a down year for Clemson?
It was.
Yeah.
The whole quarterback situation with that, right, as well?
That's so sad for Clemson to have a down year right now.
Yeah.
Oh, they're playing for the national championship. Okay. But if that's true, the other team, it's like those two teams and everybody else.
Right.
You can throw anybody you want. Now, Georgia could have made a big difference, I think. They had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, nobody else had a chance to play those two on an even stage. No way.
I agree. And if you want more entertainment value, if you want to make this thing interesting, you got to expand it. And I think that these talks are going to legitimately start to happen now among those in the upper echelon of the NCAA, because I think they're going to, and I'm curious, I'll probably Google this during our first break, but I'm curious to see what the ratings were for both of those games, because I'm not sure exactly how many people tuned in for both of those games. I'm sure a lot of, you know, if you're a college football fan, you watched.
I think Notre Dame fans probably up that a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Clemson, for sure.
Definitely, because
yeah.
They are a blue blood, and they have such a tradition, a rich tradition, with that football program. So when it comes to the matchup of Alabama and Clemson, you know, the question is, I think I'm going with Alabama. No surprise there. I mean, I've been going with Alabama this entire year. But the question remains, you know, just how competitive do you believe Clemson will be? That's the big question. What do you think, Brad?
Defense of Clemson. I want to see if it's really that legit.
Right.
Or was Notre Dame just not on that same level? I'd like to see Lawrence as a freshman
mm-hmm.
perform in this game. The big stage, what does this freshman do? He's played well. He played well last week.
He did.
He's done very well as a freshman. What will he do against Alabama?
I agree. And Trevor Lawrence, he's so fun to watch. I mean, this dude is 19 years old, but he carries himself with such a swag and such a confidence of a senior, man. I mean, it's amazing.
He's sunshine of Remember the Titans.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can certainly, with the hair, the flowing hair.
It's kind of a too big of a nose, but other than that.
Yeah. Right. Other than that, yeah, there's some similarities there. Right, Brad?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Trevor Lawrence, like Deshaun Watson, who? I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a joy to watch. So we'll get to see Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence go at it in the national championship. I want to know your thoughts on the college football playoff semifinals. How entertained were you? And what do you think is going to happen on Monday night in the national championship between Clemson and Alabama? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I do want to talk about the Bob Quinn press conference. Don't know if you guys got a chance to check that out, but Bob Quinn finally got, you know, he, GM of the Detroit Lions, he was made available to the media and had some interesting things to say about the future of the Honolulu Blue. I'll explain that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Brad, where in the world did you find this instrumental version of 50 Cent's In the Club? This is kind of hot. I like it.
Got it online.
Got it online, of course.
Yeah. And then recreated it myself. I had to learn how to play violin first. That's why it took me a little bit longer than usual.
So instead of in the club, you were in the studio.
I was.
Getting this track ready.
In my own home.
Look at the dedication of Brad Walker. He produces the tracks that you hear in and out of each break here on Current Sports. Thank you, my man, Brad Walker. We're going to miss you next week, man, for sure. Brad Walker filling in as engineer on this week's Current Sports. Want to take your thoughts and, call in 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Many of you are already weighing in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. We just finished chatting about the college football playoff semifinals, which were just boring. You know, just calling it like it is. I mean, you know, Clemson in that blowout over Notre Dame, and then Alabama predictably beating Oklahoma. So it will be Alabama and Clemson in the national championship. Ben weighs in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And says, Al, expand the playoff to 8 teams. We are tired of seeing the same teams in the national championship picture and in the national championship game every year. But Alabama and Clemson are the two best teams in college football, hands down. Then he goes on to say, Texas dominated Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Clemson killed Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl. Ohio State was touting Washington in the Rose Bowl, and they let up and let Washington back in the game. So I don't think that Notre Dame and Ohio State belonged in the playoff picture, and I think both of them would have gotten destroyed against Clemson and Alabama. I agree with you. I'm with you, Ben, and I think that, man, the Big Ten has just been disappointing. It really has. I mean, you know, the Big Ten has just had a bad showing when it comes to the national picture and competing for national championships and making the college football playoff. Man, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad. Michigan State and Ohio State are the only two teams from the Big Ten Conference that have made the playoff since its existence, right?
Absolutely.
My gosh. That can't happen, man. I mean, just not a great showing. You know, all this hype that the Big Ten gets prior to the start of the college football year. And, you know, you got some horses, man. I mean, you know, you got some of the best coaches in the nation in the Big Ten Conference. And in recent years, they can't make the playoff. And you've only had two teams in the conference make the playoff. So I don't get it. The Big Ten has to have a better showing. And, we'll see. You know, Jim Harbaugh has a lot of work to do at Michigan, I tell you. You know, one of the finest seasons that I believe Jim Harbaugh has coached for the Wolverines this past year. The Wolverines, favored to beat Ohio State. And, you know, if they did, they were a Big Ten title game away from the college football playoff. But Ohio State embarrassed them. And then to make matters worse, Florida did the same thing in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Now, I get it. The Wolverines had several players skip the game, but an embarrassing showing and another ho-hum finish to a year that many Michigan fans thought was going to be special. So the Big Ten has a lot of work to do. Urban Meyer is leaving Ohio State. He's done as head coach of the Buckeyes, so we'll see what kind of ripple effect that has in the Big Ten Conference. But that is really disappointing to know that only two teams, Michigan State and Ohio State, have made the college football playoff since it began a few years ago. So, yeah, there you have that. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got Michael on line one that wants to talk about the college football playoff and even a little some NBA, I should say. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Thank you. I just wanted, you know why I want to talk about the college football playoff before I go to the NBA? I just look at all the bowl games, and I'm looking at all these guys. They're not going to play in the bowl games. They're going to wait. They're going to say, well, I'm leaving school so I can get prepared for the NFL. That's going to really hurt the playoffs because, you know, if the Clemson and Alabama is the two teams that are only going to play for a championship, what about the rest of the bowl teams? Rest of the Division Ones, you know, the Big Five conferences.
Well, I think, Mike, because, you know, I've had this conversation a lot here on the show, and if you are not competing in the college football playoff and you are a top-tier NFL prospect in the following year's upcoming draft, why would you play in a meaningless bowl game in which you're not competing for the entire enchilada? If you are competing in the playoff, then I get it. Yeah, you want to win the whole thing. I mean, you've come that far. You make the playoff. You're not sitting out. You know, your competitive nature won't allow you to sit out. But if you're playing in the Peach Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, you know, in some other bowl game that isn't in the playoff, then I totally understand why these top NFL prospects don't want to suit up. So I get that.
Okay, I understand that. But is you bored of Clemson and Alabama? Be honest with me.
I am. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You talk about boredom. That may be the word of the hour. Hopefully I'm not boring you guys here on the air, but I'm just saying. Because when discussing the college football playoff every single year and you're seeing the same teams every year making, yeah, it becomes ho-hum. Now, the flip side of that,
okay,
to play devil's advocate, yep. I mean, we like to watch greatness, though, don't we, Mike? You know,
yes,
I'm a big NBA guy, and watching the Golden State Warriors, there's two types of fans out there. I like watching teams that are close, as close to perfection as possible. And the Golden State Warriors are that in the NBA. I mean, going back in the 90s, were you bored watching Michael Jordan and the Bulls? You know, watching Jordan's greatness, and the ratings were so high in the 90s, right? So, you know, we can sit there and say that we're bored of seeing the same teams, you know, compete for championships, the Patriots in the NFL. Yet the NFL, there was a report that came out not too long ago about the top 40 most watched games of the 2018 year. And guess what? The National Football League had 30 of those top 40 games in the ratings department, despite the fact that the Patriots dominate every single year. So people like watching greatness. I just, when it comes to college football, I want to see some variance, man. I'm just getting kind of tired of watching Bama every single year.
Okay, now let's talk about the NBA right quick. You know what? I think Draymond Green won three NBA championships. How many championships LeBron won?
LeBron has won, what is he up to now? Four, I think LeBron has now.
You sure he won one with Miami?
He won three with Miami.
He won two with Miami, I think.
It was just two?
He won one with Cleveland. Him and Draymond, they on the same wavelength of championships won. And this is what I don't get about LeBron.
You're right. No, you're right, Mike. Yeah, he's won three. He's two in Miami, one with Cleveland.
This is what I don't get about LeBron James. If LeBron James is so great, why could he stay in Cleveland and win another championship? That would validate the greatest of all time. He up there on his shows, they asking him about that 2016 championship. That validates me for the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
you went to the finals eight times. I understand that, my man, but let's be real here. You got to be able, when you get there, is you going to finish the deal. You know, we can criticize Draymond Green because he knows he's abrasive and he do things out of their comfort zone. Like, you know, it's a lot of love for him. You know, like LeBron said something about the group. Kevin Durant said something about how the writers are groupies like to LeBron, man. And that's the true thing he said. So, I just think about if Draymond Green don't sign with Golden State, I would take him on my team, man. Other than that, man, I enjoy watching Michigan State blow out Northwest, and Caston Richard is a treat to watch, man.
He is. All right.
Go on ahead and have a good weekend.
Thank you so much, Mike. Great call. And I'm with you. You know, watching and listening to LeBron sit up there and say, I think that the comeback that we had to beat the Golden State Warriors when I was in Cleveland validates me as the greatest basketball player of all time is utterly ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. I get the mentality. You know, LeBron James, he's gone on record to say he's chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan. He wants to be the greatest of all time. And it's that mentality thinking of yourself in that way, that's part of the DNA that makes you a great competitor, that makes you a great player. You have to, if you don't believe that you're the best, how can you ever, you know, strive to become that? I get the mentality. But coming out and saying it to the public is different. It's a different thing. You know, there's this viral video that's been going around, and actually former engineer of Current Sports, Isaac Constance, he actually tagged me in it on social media because I forgot that Mike even said it. But Michael Jordan was sitting down with Michael Wilbon during a piece a few years ago. And Michael Wilbon asked Michael Jordan, do you believe that you're the greatest of all time? And Mike said no. Even though I'm watching that video and saying, Mike, you think you're the greatest of all time. You're competitive. You're the most competitive basketball player or human being I've ever seen in my life. You believe that. You believe you're the best. But you know what he said to Michael Wilbon? He said, no. You know, I didn't get a chance to compete against Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell and, you know, Oscar Roberts and those guys of the past. So I can't, you know, in many ways, it makes me uncomfortable saying that I'm the best of all time. You know, I'll let the public decipher that. That is how you answer that question. It really kind of irked me when LeBron came out and said that. And pegged that reason of the 3-1 comeback to beat the Warriors in the finals as to the reason why he's the GOAT. There's so many different arguments he could have had, but he went there. Okay. All right, what I want to do is hit our final break. And when we come back, we will invite to the show Johnny Lewis of Blessed Body Training. Another Fit Friday is coming your way. Let's get healthy. It's 2019, folks. It's time to make those New Year's resolutions a reality. All right, we'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And just briefly to touch on the Bob Quinn press conference, Bob Quinn, general manager of the Detroit Lions, he did have a presser to put a cap on the dreadful year that was for the Lions franchise. And you know, there are a few things that were interesting about this press conference. He was asked whether or not he made the wrong decision or misjudged the transition that would take place with a new coach and Matt Patricia. And he said, you know, basically that, hey, change is difficult for everybody. He basically had Matt Patricia's back. And of course, as a GM, you have to do that. I mean, that was your decision to make that move from Jim Caldwell to Matt Patricia. And also he believes that Matthew Stafford can lead the Lions to a Super Bowl. Brad, are you buying that? Because I tell you what, there's two type of Lions fans. There's the Lions fan that says, look, you got to look at the bigger picture. It's not all on Matthew Stafford. This team is just bad. And then there's the Lions fan that puts it all on the shoulders of Matthew Stafford. I fall in the group that says, look, there's a bigger picture here to be had. And I still have flashbacks to the Matthew Stafford that we saw 2-3 years ago when he was a Pro Bowl quarterback. So do you think he could lead this team to a Super Bowl, though?
Spending that money, Bob Quinn better hope he can lead him to a
right.
Super Bowl.
And that's the other point, right? Yeah. When you pay a quarterback that much money, you have to say that, right?
Ooh, you do.
Okay. Time to get fit to close out this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. He now joins us via phone on the West Coast. He is the founder of Blessed Body Training. He's an MSU alum, and it's time to get fit with another edition of Fit Fridays with Johnny Lewis. Jay Lou, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Al? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother. I have to ask, you know, because we had this conversation last week, man. Did you splurge too much when it comes to the goodies in the kitchen for this New Year's, for the New Year's holiday?
You know what, Al? I didn't splurge too much, but I did have my traditional Five Guys hamburger on New Year's Day. Because, you know, I don't eat red meat. I gave up red meat and pork like 3 years ago. So every year on New Year's Day, I eat a Five Guys burger, and I loaded up with everything.
That is hilarious. So, when did that start? When did that start, Johnny?
2016, I believe, is when I first decided to give up red meat and pork, and it was the best decision I ever made in my life.
Well, when did the Five Guys tradition start?
Oh, all right. That was, I think, January 1st, 2017.
Okay, so it was rather recent. That's pretty cool, man. All right, and I saw that picture of you chowing down on that burger. It looked pretty good, too, I must say. All right, man. Well, we got a few topics you want to hit on. And, again, you give us a tip that we can use in the gym and also in the kitchen. We'll start with in the gym. You want to tackle bulking and leaning. Take it away.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, it's important to have a fitness objective, definitely starting a new year with your new goals and everything. And there's two types of fitness objectives. There's either bulking, which is gaining, leaning, which is toning or slimming, or maintaining, which is basically a combination of the two. I'm usually on the maintaining side, but today I want to focus on bulking because there's two ways to bulk. And the first is the lean bulk, and the second is a dirty bulk. Mm-hmm. And I'm more on the side of the lean bulk.
Right.
So basically the lean bulk is basically when you eat the right way and you exercise and include cardio in your diet. The dirty bulk is kind of like eating whatever, you know, eating fast food, just whatever you want to eat as long as you're gaining weight and getting stronger.
So that's a high intake of calories. I've heard that way as well, where you just, you know, I've heard advice from, quote-unquote advice from some trainers out there to say, hey, man, if you're trying to bulk up, just eat a ton of crap, you know, eat a lot of calories and just convert those calories into muscle in the gym.
Yeah, and I personally have a problem with that. I mean, it's true. You can gain faster and get muscle mass and get heavier, especially linemen. Linemen are really big for just eating whatever and just getting that muscle mass. But let me just tackle that real quick. The problem with that is that you're adding all of this extra cholesterol. And I was reading, actually, no, I heard this in one of my nutrition classes a while ago. But the average lifespan of an NFL lineman was like in the 50s or 60s.
Wow.
And that blew my mind because the average lifespan is like around 77, I think, for the average human. So, and I know some of that is probably due to concussion, but a big part of that is the high cholesterol diet that they have. So that's all included in the dirty bulk, you know? So,
right, right.
I always recommend, and especially if I'm training someone who's like bigger and like a lineman type of body type, you know. So I always encourage them to like still include cardio in their diet, still try to eat leaner sources of proteins like lean chicken breast. I actually have a guy that's almost 300 and he's a vegan. So that's the way to go, like just excluding that cholesterol, but still getting the protein, you know.
Right. That's the healthy way to do it, without a doubt. And also, what kind of exercises when you're bulking and leaning? What kind of exercises should you be doing, Johnny?
Okay, so the way I like to do it is the lean bulk, obviously. But those type of exercises are back to the HIIT cardio exercises. Of course, you're going to be doing bench press, squat, deadlift. You know, the heavy lifting. Because you're bulking, you're going to be doing those heavy lifting, but it's really critical not to exercise cardio too much because you don't want to lose if you're trying to bulk, but it's still important to include it in your exercise routine. So I always recommend like the HIIT type of workouts, or if you want to do a jog every like once or twice a week, you know, I wouldn't recommend long durations like 4 or 5 miles, but maybe like a mile or two. But I highly recommend those HIIT workouts. So short duration,
right?
But high intensity.
And you know, I got a quick question before you talk about before you give us the food tip, Johnny. I do want to ask when it comes to bulking and leaning, about how many calories should you be consuming on a daily basis?
It all depends on
depends on the person.
It's different for every person. I would say, on average, most people like to get between like 1,800 and maybe 2,300 on the higher side. So
okay, gotcha.
In terms of the calories, but it all depends on the person, how fast you're trying to gain, and there's a lot of factors within that. So
definitely. All right, with just 2 minutes left, Johnny, take us home with the benefits of lentils.
Lentils, yes. Lentils are they're legumes. They're in the basically bean and pea family.
Right.
So, yeah, it reminds me a lot of beans when I'm eating lentils. but it's universal, kind of like, you know, culturally universal, like rice or chicken. So,
right.
So many different ways to prepare it. It's vegan friendly, vegetarian friendly, not too much for keto because it's high in carbs, but it's a great source of fiber, a great source of protein. About a half a cup is about 12 grams of protein. So that's great. It has a folate, iron. So it's really, really healthy. And I did not really have lentils for the first time until last year.
Wow, that's crazy. So, man, you know, yeah, my grandma used to make lentil soup back in the day. And Johnny, to battle this cold I got, man, I don't know if you heard beginning of this hour, I need to get me some lentil soup like right now. So
oh yeah, man. And that's the thing, lentil soup is what I was gonna say. I actually got a recipe from allrecipes.com and I tried that maybe a few months ago and it was really good. So
okay.
I can send you that, maybe you can post it on there. But yes, lentil is the food of the day. Lentil soup. Try it at home.
All right.
Disappointed.
Love it. All right. That was another Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. Johnny, thank you so much, my man. Appreciate it.
Always, Al. Stay blessed.
You got it. Stay blessed. All right. That's it, folks, on this week of WKAR's Current Sports, the first week. A shortened week, of course, with the New Year's holiday. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back at it same time, same place next week. I'm Al Martin. Have a great weekend. Be easy, people.